countries via over 60 radio stations. CTS Productions. Clearing the static to bring you great radio.
Welcome to Clearing the Static. We are the radio show that talks about radio. I am the radio kid, Bob Cavanaugh here. And this is, you know, I don't even know what show we're on anymore. I didn't even.
I think it's 2211.
It's either 2211 or 2212.
Actually, it might be 2212.
Yeah. Actually, I think you're right. I think it's 2212. So yeah, there we go. We are here to talk about radio and a fairly quiet week this week. So we do have some unconventional stories for you.
Yes, we do.
But we're going to begin, as it seems that we always begin lately, with an update. Now, we thought the saga would be over. But the back and forth that's flying around between Ed Stalls and Larry Patrick has fueled this soap opera. And we have another update here from Inside Radio. Broker Larry Patrick, who operated a trio of FMs operated by Royce International during a 19-month receivership, is pushing back against several claims made by Royce owner Ed Stalls to a Nevada judge overseeing his Chapter 11 reorganization. Stalls last week told a federal bankruptcy court that he had returned his Palm Springs, California FM to service, but alleged that two others in San Francisco and Las Vegas were a work in progress after he found them in disrepair, after a judge ordered that he be allowed to regain control of the stations. Stalls said that he was forced to put a news talk format on what had earlier been CHR Hot Hits 97.7 KRCK FM in Palm Springs because the station's air staff was dismissed and programming agreements canceled while it was controlled by Patrick. He also alleged that during the receivership, the San Francisco station lost its facility, its studio facility, its communication links, and its regular programming. Patrick's legal team has not yet responded to Stalls' allegations in court, but in an email, he says that when he was appointed receiver in July of 2020, the property owners for the San Francisco and Palm Desert studios were working to evict the radio stations for non-payment of their rent. There was even an eviction notice posted on the San Francisco studios' doors. Patrick says that in Las Vegas, the property owner for what had been CHR 104.3 now, KFRH, was also due money, but had not yet begun eviction procedures. He also says that the door to the KFRH offices and studios required a code to open, something that Stalls failed to provide. In terms of programming, Patrick says that nearly the entire air staff for all three FMs had been dismissed well before the receivership began, with programming for CHR's 92.7, The Revolution, KREV, San Francisco, and Hot Hits, 97.7, KRCK, Palm Springs, beamed in from Las Vegas, until religious broadcaster VCY began leasing the three FMs. Patrick says that he never terminated any programming agreements for the stations. In a filing with the court last week, Stalls said that prior to Patrick being appointed by the court as a receiver, he had hired a broker to sell KREV, but Stalls said that no serious offer came in for the San Francisco station. He also left open the door for trying to sell again. The radio stations are located in top broadcasting markets, and with the right marketing, they have the ability to command significant more value than what the receiver has proposed, he said, referencing the $6 million sale that VCY America has agreed to pay. Stalls regained control of the FMs in February, and he asked bankruptcy judge August Landis to give him additional time to submit a reorganization plan. Stahl said he was focused on getting the stations back on the air and getting a reading on where things stand after more than a year of being on the sidelines. But Patrick has urged the judge to reject the request, saying that Stahls has a long history of using stalling taxes to avoid paying court-ordered judgments against him. To bolster his case, Patrick says his plan is ready to go and would pay all of Royce International Broadcasting creditors in full. It would sell the three FMs to VCY America. He says it would raise enough money to pay all the claims against Royce International. So, wow, that's where things that's where things stand now. And we thought this was going to be over?
Oh, brother. Yeah, this is far from over. Yeah, so what I'm not clear about, although maybe what I'm not clear about is whether the back rent for those studios is going to be involved in that. In that, you know, it says that it's the event, it'll pay all those claims. Does that include the back rent for the studio?
I would guess so.
That would be my guess too.
I mean, you know, it wouldn't make sense otherwise.
No, it wouldn't. But that is interesting that that did not come out sooner.
Yeah. Yeah, very interesting. This little soap opera is going to drag on and on and on and on.
Yeah, I think the fastest end to this would be for the judge to rule that, no, Ed, you can't have any extra time to draw up your bankruptcy plan. We're gonna go with Patrick's. You have to sell these stations, and yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, you know, knowing Stahls as I do, he'll try to fight that, but you know, I think that would definitely be the quickest end to this.
Yes.
But something tells me this is gonna drag on.
Yeah, I mean, we're only 2 years into, we're only not even 2 years into this, and the Entercom battle lasted 6, so.
Yeah, yeah. So, there you go. Oh, God, okay. So, we are going to, we are going to move now to a non-radio story. Something that's received a lot of press over the past 2 weeks, especially from Sean Ross. I don't know how I feel about this, but I know, Bob, I know you have some thoughts. So I'm not going to read the Ross articles, although I will say, you know, you and I have both read them.
Yes, and but, actually, Sean, I don't know if you saw Sean's article yesterday that he mentioned it too.
Yeah, I saw it.
Okay.
So I am going to go ahead though and read my notes here, and you can add any additional thoughts. Amazon has opened up the beta program for their new Create Your Own Radio Show service called AMP. Best described as if social audio programs, Spotify, Green Room, or Twitter Spaces allowed you to play music, AMP is only available on iOS devices. In a blog post introducing the platform, AMP Vice President John Cyancotti describes it as, "Radio has always been about music and culture. But imagine if you were inventing the medium for the first time today. You'd combine what people love about radio, spontaneous talk, new music discovery, diverse personalities, and broad programming with all that's made possible by today's technology. You'd make it so that anybody with a phone, a voice, and a love for music could make their own show. And that's exactly what we are doing. AMP makes it possible for you to grab the mic and run the airwaves. We are creating a new version of radio that will have an infinite dial of shows. The free-to-use app allows users to create and schedule shows that include the airplay of licensed music at no charge, take callers, and built-in discovery and notifications. Future additions include Alexa and integrations, social sharing, and innovative new search and discovery features that will connect listeners with the creators with the content they're looking for on the dial. AMP will also feature shows from celebrities, including Nicki Minaj, Pusharati, Tinashe, Lindsey Sterling, Travis Barker, Lily Achty, and Big Boy. I only know two of those names. as well as radio personalities such as former Westwood One host Zach Sang, former KRAQ host Kat Corbett, public radio host Guy Raz, and Christian James. Okay, so this new service thinks it's going to try to create radio by giving people the ability to like talk and play music and play radio. Okay. Seems to me, and I don't remember what the platform was, I guess that's how non-memorable it was to me. There was a platform that tried something similar, and I don't remember what it was, but it definitely wasn't this robust. This really seems to be something that's kind of like coming out of the gate. Now, in my opinion, this is not radio. This sounds like something I would have done when I was like 10. I don't know. I have mixed feelings about it because I feel like on one hand, I feel like, yes, this is probably the next natural progression. But I also feel like this isn't going to have radio capabilities. It isn't. I mean, I could be wrong. I don't know. I don't have an iOS device. But I feel like this isn't going to sound like radio.
You might be right about that. Now, so I did download this app on Thursday.
Okay. So you've had a chance to kind of like poke and play around with it. Okay. So
I have.
I'm interested.
So there are some pretty serious issues with it. The way it's designed right now, there are some pretty serious issues with it to the point that I can't even get any of these stations to play.
Ooh.
So yeah, I mean, there are definitely some issues with it. I was really interested to see how these things sound, and I can't even get these things to work because if I open the AMP app on my phone right now, the first thing I'm going to get is a welcomes. Actually, I might. I've got my phone right here. I'm going to do it.
Okay.
So utilities. I'm going to go to AMP. Keynote. Yeah, don't do that.
Pages. AMP. Let's view.
There. So I open AMP. And
excited for our road.
Oh. Okay, I don't know why TuneIn started playing. Just a second. That is not, that was not supposed to happen. Stop. There. You are not supposed to hear that.
Right.
Okay, so that is the screen that I get.
Okay.
I cannot dismiss that.
Ooh.
So, if I do, if I close AMP and go back into it, and I hit the, if I hit the create button fast enough, which I did not do that at that point.
Welcome to AMP swipe horizontally to browse shows tab the logo to refresh the list.
Okay, that did not work either.
Close it. Close your show details.
Okay, so I got it this time.
Yeah.
So if I hit the create button, I can access your show details. I can set that up.
Close button.
But then if I go to a
actions available,
if
symbol on a blue background.
Stop. If I go to a if I create that show, I get a screen with a one button that says unmute label that I also cannot activate.
Ooh.
So now I've closed out of this screen.
Okay.
I've closed out of the create screen. And there are a couple of buttons here. And so I get here, I get a list of stations here. But if I tap it, it doesn't do anything.
Okay.
So if I tap the station, it doesn't do anything.
App switcher. Yep. Closing up. Closing up. Both. Messages.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Now, I'm wondering, could it be, because I mean, Sean Ross has sampled this thing. I guess Lance has sampled this thing. Could it be that there's an accessibility issue with VoiceOver, or?
Yeah, I'm thinking that's what it is.
Right.
I'm thinking that's what this is. And I actually wrote to them as soon as I downloaded. So, and actually too, you do have to have, it's a little weird because you do have to, so what they'll do, so you sign in with your Amazon account.
Okay.
And then you, you're asked for an access code. Once you get that, if you can say, if you don't have an access code, you say you don't have an access code, you get on the wait list, you'll get an email, which I was a little surprised that mine came through so fast. It was in my inbox the next morning. You'll get an email with an access code. You'll type that in, and then you set your profile up. So yeah, so once I figured out, yeah, this looks like an issue with VoiceOver, I did write to them and say, hey, this is a serious issue that needs to be fixed.
Right. Yes. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. If this does roll out with Alexa capability, hey, wasn't talking to you. If this does roll out with a lady capability, you know, I would assume I would be able to access and operate this from the A-Lady to some extent. which will be interesting.
Yeah, it will. I don't quite know how that would work, but
I don't know. But I guess that would, you know, that would be part of the journey. But it sounds just from what Sean Ross has described. I mean, even the idea that, like, it sounds like if you want to do a traditional radio show on this platform, for now, you are out of luck.
For now, it sounds like, but it sounds like this is going to, it sounds to me like they're going to be adding new features all the time. Like if you get Clubhouse, if you open Clubhouse now, it doesn't look hardly anything like it did a year ago when it launched.
Okay. Yeah, I noticed that they talk a lot about, you know, comparing it to, they compare it a lot, like everybody's comparing this a lot to Clubhouse.
Yes, which I find a little odd because, you know, Clubhouse to me, as I told you off air, Clubhouse to me feels like this giant convention that,
right,
like, you know, I feel like Clubhouse is basically a combination of Zoom and like a giant convention hall where, you know, where this is like you're in your car, you want to listen to, you know, you want to listen to radio or, you know, whatever you call this thing, you want to listen to amp, you can put it on and, you know.
Yeah. So I guess all I will say is keep this thing around for demo purposes. But let me put it this way, from what I have heard about it, if this were something that were on a web platform and if it were screen reader accessible, I don't know if I would be getting it anytime soon. I just don't know.
Oh, interesting. I would have thought you would try almost anything having to do with radio.
This really doesn't sound like radio to me. I mean, it does, but it doesn't.
Yeah, and I think it has potential.
I definitely think it has potential.
Yeah, I definitely think that once they get these accessibility issues sorted out, I think what they should do is they should add the ability, because it does not look like you can add any imaging or whatnot to it at the moment.
Right. Well, I think they should, but like, I mean, how many normal people, like when I say normal people, I mean, non-radio people. And I guess this is kind of who this is aimed at. How many non-radio people are going to think about things like imaging?
I don't know. You might be right about that. I mean,
that's just, you know, like I have heard online stations from non-radio people, and there, I mean, there's no image. I think those kind of elements are, you know, what we think about.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hoping that's what they do, because I mean, then in my book, it will be more of a radio-esque thing.
Yeah. And Like even if a lot of people use it like to like just tease like their next show or something, like,
yeah, yeah.
As we've talked about with some of the internet stations that we're familiar with, you know, a lot of the imaging on those is simply, you know, show promos and whatnot.
Right. So, you know, we'll keep you updated on this service.
Yes, most definitely.
All right. So we're going to go to Maine next, as Mix Maine Media has flipped Talk Oldies Legacy 1160 WSKW Scargan to Sports 1160 The Score. Current morning host Mike Violet will remain in place for what is now being titled the opening drive from 7 to 9 a.m. The remainder of the lineup will feature programming from CBS Sports Radio and the CBS and the station's ample high school sports programming. The move marks a return to all sports for WSKW, which previously held the format from the mid-90s to 2011, either under the 1160 The Score or ESPN 1160 brands. Okay. That, well, good for them. They've got a sports station again, and I'm glad that they've got a local morning show in place.
Yes.
All right, we're going to go to the Quad Cities next, and some interesting developments in a public radio station there happening, as Augustana College is planning a realignment of its public news talk and classical programming services in the Quad Cities this summer. 90.3 WVIK Rock Island, Illinois will convert to all news talk programming, while 105.7 Translator will see its signal upgraded and acquire all the classical programming. Currently, WVIK airs a mix of news talk and classical, while the Translator, WVIK HD2, airs additional news talk programming. General Manager Jay Purse told the Quad City Times, "We're not going to do it until we have a frequency that covers all the Quad Cities. Sustainability is the bottom line here. It's a financial thing, and we studied it long and hard." Okay. And again, I guess they feel like they've got to do it on, Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So, there we are.
Yeah.
I think that's a good move. Look, this is the trend now.
Yes,
in
it
public
is.
Radio. As sad as it is, this is the trend. Let's put news talk on the big signal and yakata yak all day. Mostly with national content from NPR that drives me up the wall. Because, you know, we're not like corporate radio and, you know, we actually do local programming. Yeah, right. Yeah.
Well, you're just biased against WRVO, though, aren't you?
Well, yes. Yes. But I guarantee you, when the new schedule comes out, in August, I guarantee you, there will not be a local show on that schedule. You may have a newscast, a couple of newscasts on that schedule. But like I guarantee you, all the shows are going to come from NPR and PRX.
Okay.
And that's how it's going to work. And classical, well, I hope they do something more with it than just classical 24.
Yeah, do you know what that station's running now? Is that classical 24?
Most of it, yes. Yes, most of it, I believe, is supplemented through classical 24, although I have to do another check on it.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's what that comes into. Yeah.
Yes.
All right. We're going to go to Pennsylvania now. Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania 65,000.
Yes. Oh, God. Remember I played that?
Yes, you did. That was, I had requested that, actually.
Yeah, I think you requested the Brian Setzer version.
Yes, I did.
I can't remember if I ever played the original or not.
Jake did.
Yes. Yes.
Jake.
Oh,
played
okay. Yes. Yes. That's right. Yes. that would be an interesting show to put together.
Yeah.
Songs. No. Here's a show theme idea, but I'm gonna need some help with it. And I don't really know where to go for help. Songs that have state names.
In
the title.
Yeah. Well, there's Delaware, Perry Como.
Yes.
New York. There's several with New York and California.
I can think of several. I know a lot of the New York songs are like, you know, New York City. Like, I haven't found any, like, I found a lot of songs that are about, like, New York, meaning the city.
Right.
And that, you know, and that's what they reference. I haven't found anything that's, like, very New York state specific. Another idea that I had was, like, you know, if a state has, like, a state song.
Oh, yeah. Most states have
state songs. Yeah, you know what's stupid? Okay, most states have a state song.
Okay.
You want to know what our song is?
New York, Frank Sinatra.
No. The I Love New York tourism jingle.
That
was actually voted as the official state song. Like, are you nuts? Everybody else gets a dignified song and we get
I haven't actually heard our state song. I know what it is, but I have never actually heard it.
Congratulations, I'm going to try to play it.
Okay, it's a Roll On Columbia is the name of it.
Roll On Columbia? That has nothing to do with Washington.
Yeah, it is a Columbia River.
Oh, okay. All right. What?
The Columbia River is what that's talking about.
Here's another one. The state anthem. I think it's the state anthem. The state anthem of Connecticut is Yankee Doodle. Of all things. Songs with state names in the title.
Yes.
Okay. I don't know. Yeah, I need somebody to help me put together a database.
Yes.
From Alabama to Wyoming. Oh, there you go. All right. Pennsylvania, everybody.
Well, yeah, we'll talk about that off air because I can think of several.
Instead, write them down.
Okay.
Write them down and send them to me.
Okay.
That'll be easier because I will forget.
All right.
Joe Riley's Columbia FM is selling its full-service oldies WHLM network to Seven Mountains Media for $450,000. The deal includes two AMs and four translators, all running the same programming. 930 WHLM Bloomsburg, 1280 WPWX Berwick, 94.7 translator West Hazleton, 96.3 translator Berwick, 104.3 translator Bloomsburg, and 105.5 translator Danville. As part of the acquisition, Columbia FM owner Joe Riley signed a 5-year non-compete agreement to own or manage a station within 60 miles. The stations are considered part of the Scranton-Wilkes-Barre market, which they serve the western portion of. Seven Mountains already owns Hot AC, 93.5 WSBG, and Country Bigfoot 103.1, 840 WVPO 103.1 translator Stroudsburg, covering portions of the market. That is an Allentown. Let's get this straight. Those signals are in the Allentown market. That's my pet peeve. And something that's in the Scranton market, Bigfoot Legends, 107.7 WLGD and 590 Warm Scranton in the center of the market, all of which count towards the local ownership cap. The company also owns Classic Hits, Henna, 92.3 WHNA, 97.5 translator, and Country Bigfoot Country, 106.5 WCFT Bloomsburg, counting towards the adjacent Sunbury Selins Grove market. That doesn't make any sense to me, but okay. Here's what we know. WHLM is in for a branding change at the very least, if not more so.
Okay.
Seven Mountains is not going to keep a plain old WHLM branding around.
Right.
All right. They're either going to keep it oldies and rebrand it, or they're going to flip the format.
Yes.
So expect some changes, y'all.
Yes.
Because they're coming. My guess is they're going to shift it towards classic hits.
Yeah.
And brand it, I don't know, The Bloom or something.
Oh, yeah. That's an interesting idea. Yeah, yeah, no, they're going to put a name on that thing.
Yeah, they are. You're no, right. Yeah, they are. They definitely are. That's coming. That's definitely coming. All right, an update for you in the Tampa market. As Spanish Broadcasting Systems prepares to acquire 97.1 WSUN Holiday Tampa, Cox Media has found a new signal to keep the 97X brand alive. 97X is now being heard on Naya Broadcasting's 97.5 translator, St. Petersburg, giving the brand coverage on the western side of the Tampa market. To reach the remainder of the market over the air, the alternative format is being simulcast on 94.9 WWRM HD2 Tampa and 101.5 WPOI HD2 St. Petersburg. The 97.7 translator had been rebroadcasting Naya's R&B oldies 1150 WTMP Egypt Lake. That station is in the process of moving a 102.1 translator Egypt Lake to the tower that currently houses the 97.5 translator. I'm glad to hear that alternative I'm glad to hear that the alternative brand is sticking around.
Yes.
In Tampa. And that, you know, I mean, Cox, seems to be committed to that. So.
Yes. Okay. Here's what gets me about this. And I've seen this before too, is like Cox isn't the first station to do this. Although I think they are the first ones to do it HD to HD, but it's like, okay, why are you guys simulcasting your programming across two HD subchannels?
I don't know.
It's like the 101.5 especially is a big signal that covers the entire market.
Yes, but remember, HD operates at a 10% of the power.
Yes, but I don't know. I feel like to me that would be a negligible difference between 94.9 and 101.5.
Right. No, I mean, I agree with you on that. I agree with you on that.
That is a little bit nuts. Now, the other example I'm thinking of is, I don't know if they're still doing this or if 92.3 has launched something else, but for a while, 102, Odyssey was broadcasting the 102.7 WNEW HD1 also on 92.3 HD2.
Okay. I don't know what they're doing now.
Yeah, that does not make sense to me at all.
No, that does not make sense at all. But at least, okay, so at least 97X has some kind of new home.
Yes.
When 97.1 flips. All right, a story I've got some doubts about.
Okay.
Courtesy of consultant Alan Burns.
Okay.
Now we've talked a bit, I think we've talked a bit about this on the show.
Yes, we have.
But so, following the success of the Today Radio and Now brands in Canada, focusing on personal interaction between hosts and listeners, Alan Burns and Associates has announced its intent to market the variation of the concept domestically. Burns is launching what they call Social Radio and has trademarked that name along with The Social FM, The Story, UFM, and Join the Conversation for use with the product. In its marketing page, it states that the approach can work with different music mixes and strategies while emphasizing the personalities and listener stories to differentiate itself from streaming and other jukebox with commercial station presentations. One of radio's biggest problems is that it has done a poor job of focusing on listeners, says Alan Burns, president of Alan Burns & Associates. Consumers want products and associates that focus on consumers' needs and desires, he says. But what do music radio stations talk about most? Themselves. And who do our highest profile personalities talk about? Each other. We can and need to do better at putting the audience first. To meet that need, Burns & Associates is introducing Social Radio, a music and talk model which has proven successful in Canada. According to Burns, the first two stations adopting this approach have achieved years of consistent 25 to 54, almost 10 years worth of nonstop number one books in the first in station. Social Radio is compelling because of the power of personal stories, says Burns. Humans are hardwired to tell and listen to stories, and social radio is driven by listeners contributing what happened to me when stories by phone and text. This is radio's version of the user-generated content model that made Facebook and YouTube so successful. Both listeners and advertisers love this approach. At Burns VP Jeff Johnson, listeners love it for the entertaining stories and music, and advertisers because it's a very highly engaged audience. This concept is going to have a huge impact on American radio, says Burns, and our company is leading the charge. Early stations in the model have been branded as Today or Now, which Burns says are fine names, and we have trademarked additional language, including the Social FM, the Story, UFM, and Join the Conversation to ensure they are available for our clients' use. All right, hang on. Now, listen, I agree 155.8967% with everything Burns said. You know, I was listening to some radio air checks from like 30 years ago, 1990. Last night on an audio podcast in the Market Scope, and just realized like how dang it
your how, cat turned on your radio
on the radio realized just how innovative and listener focused it that they were, and that's not the case anymore. And I totally agree with everything Burns says. Just a second, keep talking, Bob.
Okay. Yeah, I completely agree with that. As you go, that was perfect timing, by the way, for the cat to turn the radio on right as we're talking about it.
Yeah, exactly. Now, here, okay. So listen, I mean, Burns has done several different things that are pretty, I mean, I really liked his move-in concept.
Right.
Even though it fell and faded quickly.
Yes.
I really liked that concept. And as you know, I was an intern at one of his move-in stations that he consulted. But here's the problem, Mr. Burns. I don't see any radio operator adopting this concept in America. The big companies won't adopt it. At least I don't think they will, because you can't nationalize it. And you, I mean, you're talking about live talent there at least 18 hours a day. Smaller operators won't have the budget to adopt it, or at least if they do adopt it, they won't be able to do it in a way that the format will work properly. So I admire you, and I agree with everything he said, but I do not see any operator here picking it up.
I'm less skeptical, but I agree with you. So, okay. iHeart and Odyssey are not going to pick it up.
Right.
Alpha, I don't know. Alpha, I could see Alpha picking it up on certain stations.
Okay. Okay.
Because Alpha doesn't, you know, Alpha doesn't seem to try and nationalize anything. They'll sometimes voice track from out of market, but not even that very much.
Right, right.
Definitely, I think Hubbard, of the big companies, I think Hubbard is going to be the one to watch here.
Okay, okay. Yeah, and you may have a point there. Yeah.
Especially on their hot ACs.
Okay, you think they may pick this up on their hot ACs? You think their hot ACs may go social radio?
Yes.
Okay.
Because, you know, WTMX has always had a two-person afternoon show, so has KS95.
Right.
And I think I'm not sure about Q102.
Q102?
In Cincinnati.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, but those might be, of the big companies, I think they are going to be the one to watch. Some of the smaller operators, such as, I'm thinking like a Bend Radio Group or River Bend Communications or some of those, you might see, you know, so some of these that have clusters in Rich Broadcasting might be another one. Maybe even Galaxy. These smaller companies that have clusters in smaller but still rated markets also might pick it up.
Right. Yeah, I can see that. Yep. Okay, yeah, that might be a possibility. Yeah. You might be right about that, but I guess I'm at a point where I'm at a point where I will believe it when I actually hear it.
Yeah. I mean, that's all we can do at this point.
Right. You know, I mean, I have heard, you know, many formats that have been trotted out by consultants that have never been picked up. You know, and hello, Jenny Radio. But I hope.
Okay, so Jenny Radio, was that wasn't the Cleveland, that there was something before that?
No. It was Jenny Radio was a kids format similar to Radio Disney.
Okay.
Which was voiced by Jenny Smart. J-E-N-N-I, Jenny Radio. It was consulted by the same people who I forget who it is. Is it SparkNet? Yeah, it's SparkNet. The same people who consult Jack FM.
Okay.
And it was never picked up other than on the Smart Foundation's own radio outlets.
Okay.
You know, and I've seen several other ones that are out there or okay. that were out there. I mean, God, the ill-fated Rhythmic AC Wow FM. I mean, my God, there are just so many of them that were never picked up.
Okay.
That were floated. So again, yeah, I will believe this when I hear it.
Okay, cool.
So that, yeah, that's where that stands, everybody. So
yeah, that may be either an off-air conversation, or if we have to fill time, you'll have to tell me about some of these other ones that you've heard.
Yeah, yeah. So we will go to the satellites now. Sirius XM has announced that they will launch the Joni Mitchell channel. Another one of these artist exclusive junk channels, featuring the music of iconic musician and songwriter Joni Mitchell. Listeners can hear the Joni Mitchell channel starting Wednesday, March 16th through Thursday, April 14th on the SXM app and on satellite channel 105 starting March 30th through Tuesday, April 5th. The exclusive channel coincides with Mitchell being honored as the 2022 Person of the Year of the Recording Academy's Bashir Cares charity event on April 1st, raising funds for vital programs and release efforts for the music community. Okay, so another limited engagement channel. It's a flip, so we thought we'd tell you about it. And
yeah,
there you go. All right. So, finally, somebody is making some sense in Dallas, Texas. Bob, I almost called you Jake, but you're not Jake. You're Bob. Somebody's making sense in Dallas, Texas. Cumulus Media Country 99.5 The Wolf, KPLX, made a sizable playlist shift on Tuesday as it removed all current and most recurrent songs and moved to a gold-based presentation. The station had previously been featuring a current recurrent heavy presentation with an average of one song before 2000 per hour. The station's playlist is now centered in the 1990s through early 2010s. With songs from as early as 1980. The playlist is quite similar to what Cumulus has been doing at 95.5 Nash Icon, WSM Nashville, and its Nash Icon stations. While no on-air changes have accompanied the musical shift, there may be some forthcoming as KPLX is currently searching for a morning host and co-host. No word on how that search affects hosts Brian Moot and Tara Ward. The move also creates more music separation between KPLX and sister New Country 96.3 KSCS. KSCS was in a tie with a number seven with a 3.5 share in the January PPMs, while KPLX was 13th with a 3.3 share. Finally, these stations are getting some separation. I always felt like they were too close to each other since they came under common ownership.
Yeah, that has confused me too on that. So yeah, and I don't know if you saw Sean Ross's write-up about that too, but yes, looks like very, very similar to Nash Icon.
Oh, extremely. Yes, extremely similar to Nash Icon. So, I mean, yeah, I am pleased that, you know, they're doing this. Definitely, you know, God, after years and years of Dickie management, some sense. Common sense at Cumulus.
Yes, I guess my question about this is, you know, like, okay, why wasn't this done sooner? Like, I feel like the Nash brand was like rolled out and then stopped. And like, I feel like they should have prioritized markets where they had two country stations.
Oh, yes. Yes.
And I feel like this should have been done years ago.
Agreed. Agreed. I think part of it, well, I mean, in the reorganization, you know, they weren't quite sure how they wanted to do it and how they wanted to go about it. I mean, this was a very drastic management shift at Cumulus. And it took, from what I understand, it took place extremely quickly.
Yeah, that's kind of what it sounds like.
So,
They weren't really sure what to do with Nash, but even prior to that, though, because like they launched Nash in 2013, and you know, Nash Icon was the fall of 2013, you know, late summer, early fall of 2013. I feel like Dallas and where else do they have two country stations? Obviously, Nashville. Dallas, Nashville, where else do they have two country stations? Boise. I feel like those ought to have been prioritized when Nash Icon launched, being as, you know, you already have a current-based country station in that market.
Right, right, exactly. You know, I completely agree with you.
Yeah.
But, you know, they didn't do that. No.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's like sometimes it's like, what are you doing? Okay, you finally rectified that.
They're rectifying things quite slowly, but they are being rectified, thank God.
Yes.
All right. We will turn to some station sales. Pretty thick station sales column this week. And I wanted to go through some of them. And I want to start with one that like really intrigued me and knocked me down a peg or two. Truth Broadcasting is purchasing Country Rebel 93.7 WKHF Lynchburg, Virginia, from Chuck Marsh's Lynchburg Media Partners for the approximate $480,000 worth of debt on the note of Marsh's purchase of the station from WVJT Incorporated. Remember this? In April of 2021. A $2,000 per month time brokerage agreement will take effect on April 1st. Format change again.
Yeah, this was the only sale that stood out to me.
Really?
Yeah, okay. That I was a little surprised about that.
Yeah, I mean, just wow. Yeah, I mean, it's amazing that that's happening.
Yeah.
All right, so another station that could be changing, Will Tiemens, WGHN Incorporated, is selling one of its stations to Grand Haven, Michigan, to Michigan Media Ministries. WGHN will divest Classic Rock 93.1 WMPA. Ferrisburg for $425,000. WMPA will join the buyer's Christian Strong Tower Radio Network. WGHN will retain AC 92.1 WGHN FM and Oldies 94.9 1370 WGHN 94.9 Translator Grand Haven. So that is happening as well. So another one that's changing format, or at least it looks like it could be changing format in Michigan. Matt Butler's Sky to Shore Communications is selling AAA 95.3 The Otter WFNX to Dennis and Lucas Carpenter's Carpenter Broadcasting for $55,000. The Carpenters own the Classic Country Bob network surrounding the Twin Cities and hold a CP for 96.9 in Grand Marais. So I think that could go Bob.
Yeah, and
I think the Otter is done.
Yeah, although it might move to that new 96.9.
Could you? That could, you know what? Yeah, that could be. That could, oh my God. Yeah, that could be. I didn't even think of that, but yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. All right. But we are out of time. So.
Oh, we are. Okay. So yes. We will, you know what? We will pick this up next week.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Independently owned and operated by Serena Alexia Kyle, CTS Productions. CTS Productions. Clearing the static to bring you great radio.